You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off. Racing.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome to the Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill for the 3rd of March. The weather continues to impact on the racing schedule, unfortunately, but hopefully we'll have 3 all-weather meetings coming up on Saturday. Lingfield, Chelmsford and the Jumpers Bumpers Affair at Newcastle. They all inspect at 8 a.m, but hopefully racing will be on, and if so, it'll be live on Racing Radio nominally from 1:35. For previews, tips and then commentaries, of course, on the races themselves. And provided it goes ahead, Lingfield's first 4 races will also be live on ITV, the ITV main channel as well. All weather racing. Who would have thought?
Who would have thought?
And yeah, my name's John Gibby. You can always already hear Ross Bridie's dulcet tones in the background. Hello, Ross.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm very well, thank you.
Good.
Yeah. I'm all right, yeah.
You're a bit of an all-weather man, aren't you? So this is...
I am a man for all seasons, John.
Yeah, this is your time.
This is my time to shine. yes, although disappointed. You know, there was a 500 grand scoop 6 potentially tomorrow that I was looking at, thinking, just Lingfield on in the afternoon. This is an absolute godsend. And they've gone and postponed it.
I mean, they've postponed most things. We were supposed to have, of course, Doncaster for the Grenfell Chase, Newry for the Greatwood, Kelso had a good card, Navan over in Ireland, all gone because of the weather. All gone. Sunday's turf racing all gone as well, so we won't be back on the turf till Monday at the earliest.
Yes, but we've got a replacement 5% card on Sunday, so...
Yes.
From my perspective, this is a good time to be alive.
Good time to be alive. As long as it's all gone in time for Cheltenham. That's the main thing.
Well, yeah, you'd hope so, yeah. Otherwise, we'd be very depressed. I nearly fell over and broke my neck this morning, so prefer if that didn't happen.
It would be
quite like my
sad.
Neck intact. What about you, mate?
Yes, I love it when my neck is intact.
Yeah.
Right, we'll turn our attention to Lingfield on Saturday. I would say easily the best of the 3 all-weather cards.
Amongst limited competition,
yeah,
yes.
I mean, it's not difficult. All you really need is a listed race and a Class 2 handicap and you're there.
Yes, exactly.
You've got 3 tips for us. Where does the first one run?
It runs in an absolute corker of a race in the 1:45, which is an excellent mile handicap, full of curious sorts, including Chevalier, who was in very good form before deciding he'd give everything a head start last time out, which didn't really work out, funnily enough. Constantino is a bit of a so-and-so, and then I think this will probably be dominated by 4-year-olds though, but I think Humbert's likely to be popular, and that's no great surprise given that he's a horse chasing a 4-timer and he's progressed nicely so far. But different kettle of fish, this.
Yeah.
Different track, bigger field, better horses, up in the weights, up in the grade. The form's not too bad that he's been contesting. Derek Duval in particular has franked it by coming out and winning last time out. But I think Sea Fox is rock solid in terms of, I mean, if 8 runners go tomorrow, he's a right old each way bet, his old Sea Fox.
6-1 at time of recording, because Lingfield's televised action is priced up already at time of recording, halfway through Friday afternoon. Novelty.
Well, they've got nothing else to do, have they?
That is very true.
Yes, he ran quite a nice race on his return, on his first all-weather start, but that was his first run for 77 days. He was held about the back. He got caught a bit wide. Things didn't quite go to plan. He was finished 4 lengths behind Chevalier, but everything pointed to that being an ease back into action, shall we say. They then ran him in a novice race where, despite the fact that he was sort of £5 well in with the favourite, it went off 2-1. He went off 12-1 and won quite cosily. Off the back of that, I thought he ran a cracker the other day. He basically got beaten in the shadows of the post by 2 horses who just went over the top of him. But he'd been a bit keen. He chased quite a strong pace and he kicked on off the home bend, and I thought he was a little bit unlucky to get beaten by two absolute track specialists, the shape of Goring and Mr. Scaramanga. So that form looks rock solid to me. Fran Berry's back in the saddle. He was in when he won on his penultimate start. But if he's out of the frame, I'd be pretty disappointed.
He's 6-1 in Lingfield's 145.
So there you go.
I don't know if you're a class man or not, Ross, but this is also a class 3 competitor to class 2 he ran in last time.
It is, yes. Yeah.
Some people say they just ignore, but it would be down their list of considerations when looking at a race.
No, I think it's very much up in my list of considerations. Which again, but the interesting thing, he's down the bottom of the weights here, so people are going to assume, oh, this is a tougher race, but it's not a tougher race. He got beaten by, the horses rated 98, 99 and 100 were around him last time out. I think he's, like I said, very disappointed if he's not in the thick of things.
Sea Fox, to be in the thick of things for Ross Briley.
He's also from an unfashionable yard as well, which is nice.
Well, looking at Humbert is the 9-4 favourite. You were talking about how popular he could be. James Story riding for Hugo Palmer in a Class 3 Lingfield all-weather handicap. You know, with all due respect to the other jockeys and trainers on show here, if you were just going to do it on the jockey-trainer combination, that's...
They're a popular combo, aren't they?
Yeah,
and understandably so. And he's definitely got a chance. I just think he's facing a stiffer task than previously.
See Fox for Ross in the opener at Lingfield then. Listed action coming up at 3:30. It's live on the ITV main channel. It's the Spring Cup over 7 furlongs, and at time of recording, Headway is the 6-4 favourite for William Haggis, and James Doyle once again riding another favourite at Lingfield on Saturday. Lansky is 5-2, 5-1 then for Bengali Boys. Rufus King 5-1, 12-1 Nick Volta, and Al-Bashir 40-1. And looks like Headway's the one they all have to beat here, Ross.
Yeah, it's a cracking race again, though, isn't it? Four horses rated in the hundreds. Rufus King, who got his rating through handicaps last year, first time gelding, should be a bit better, but he's up against it, against a few nice types, who admittedly be interested to see whether they train on. Bengali Boys, who won the super sprint for Richard Fahey last year.
Absolutely hacked up in that, didn't he?
He did. Barry McHugh got a write-off payday after that break. And interesting that he won on debut, and then he won after a 6-7 week break. So he's clearly a horse that goes well. Last year went well fresh, so I don't think that's any particular problem. But he's going from 5 furlongs to 7 furlongs, which is a bit of an ask for him. Headway second in the Coventry, rock solid form. But I liked Lansky here. Jeremy Nazida and Ryan Moore again. The big names are coming out. It is, Cheltenham Festival might be around the corner, but it's nice to see some of the top flat jockeys returning to these shores.
We are in the same month as the Lincoln already.
That is true. That is a man after my own heart with that. And he had some good form last year, finishing up in the frame in the Mill Reef and the Acom. His two wins haven't been by particularly big margins, and he's potentially a quirky sort, but he's got a tongue tie on along with the blinkers. Jeremy Cedar's in fantastic form. Ryan Moore's booked. I think Lansky will be very much hard to kick out of the action. So yeah, Lansky will be mine. He looks a proper all-weather performer.
And he's 5-2 for the Spring Cup and listed race at Lingfield on Saturday up at 3:30. And I believe your final tip at Lingfield, Ross, runs in the 4:00.
Yes. Roy's Legacy, it would be, for me. You were talking about class. This is a horse who's certainly capable of doing it in better races. He was a winner at Wolverhampton on his penultimate start. Last time out, he was drawn wide, and he's a front runner at Chelmsford. He burnt a hell of a lot of petrol to get there. To the front, and he set it up for the closers with Strictly Carter and Firesnake coming home strongly. To my eyes, there doesn't seem to be anything else apart from Pop Silka, who likes to get on with things. Pop Silka's got first time blinkers, which might be a concern, as that might light her up. And I also don't particularly like the favourite, Blaster Magic, who I thought threw the race away a bit on its penultimate start. Clearly he's got ability, but he's maybe a few sandwiches short of a picnic, so that would be a slight concern for him. I was hoping that, if Roy's Legacy can get away in front before Pop Silka gets the message, he might be hard to peg back. So he would be the pick. And an each-way double with Sea Fox isn't the worst worst bet, I don't think.
Yeah, Roy's Legacy off top weight, joint top weight, in that 4 o'clock at Lingfield is the way Ross is looking. Those are your selections at Lingfield on Saturday then, Ross. Let's turn our attention to a slightly different kettle of fish. And the Cheltenham Festival is only just around the corner now.
Is it?
It is indeed.
Oh, right. No one's mentioned it.
No. You wouldn't know.
Yeah, would I wouldn't you? Know, no. I've got absolutely no idea.
Over the past few weeks, and indeed in the time we've got now leading up to the festival, there's lots of different people giving lots of different innovative ways to have discussions and talks and tips for Cheltenham. I spent an hour in the studio this morning listening to Andrew Mount give some very insightful statistics for the championship races.
And he's got them seeping out of his pores, hasn't he?
Yeah, really does. Really does. But I want to keep it nice and simple on the podcast today. I just want to ask you for your best bet for the Cheltenham Festival as things stand right now.
Well, as I haven't gone massively into depth into it yet, because, like I said, I don't want to burn the petrol too soon. I think Mengli Khan's interested in the Supreme on day one, but I think on the final day, I love a Gold Cup and I love Mike Bite. So it's hard to oppose him, really, and I'm absolutely thrilled that many people are trying to. And that he's quirky and he might not stay and he might do this. And if he doesn't stay, I'll eat my own socks, I think. I just think he's going to break these horses' hearts. And I'm struggling to find anything to get too worried about. Last year's winner, Sizing John, obviously. But there's an argument for saying that he's got a slight retrieval mission on his hands. Or he certainly hasn't had... He certainly hasn't had things go to plan. I mean, last year he'd come into the back off the back of two career best wins and was on the top of his game. This year he's had a frustrating year. Native River's only been seen once as well, whereas last year again he was in... I mean, Native River and Sizing John were on the form of their lives last year when going into the Gold Cup. And how many horses in this race could you say that about?
Yeah.
Two? Three? Maybe? Definitely Red... Total Recall, Mike Bite.
Yeah.
And if Mike Bite's on the form of his life, then I think he will brutalise them. I think he's just a wonderful horse. He's a very quirky sort, which obviously makes that is a more attractive proposition. You know, people do have soft spots for flawed genius, should we say. Obviously, last year's RSA is very much in people's memories. And the slight concern that we haven't seen him, we hasn't had a pipe opener, would be my only worry. But I thought he broke horses' hearts in the King George as much as he did in the RSA. And yeah, I think he's going to be... I can't wait to see him, quite frankly.
People are making cases for the likes of Native River... Our Duke, definitely Red. It feels like these horses are more in the mould of an older Gold Cup winner, a more traditional Gold Cup winner, whereas in recent years we've seen a slightly speedier, classier type of horse come through to win this race. I think Mike Bite would be in that mould, Sizing John as well. You could argue Don Cossack, maybe.
Yeah, a few years ago, you didn't have to go back that far back to find your likes of your synchronised, did you, winning the race? Or your Lord Windermere's. But... Yeah, I think Mike Bite's in the... Mike Bite is in your long-run Denman and Corto level quality, I think. And, you know, the two real big tests he's been set, he's passed, admittedly. He does it in a fairly unique way. But, yeah, I just hope that his jockey is a little bit more restrained than he was... in the RSA last year, as I do think he put the gun to the head a long way out.
He likes to go from the front, doesn't he, Nico, especially around Cheltenham?
Yeah, which is perfectly understandable, but you've got to be able to adjust your plan slightly to what's happening around you. So hopefully he'll be given a slightly more considered ride than he was last year, but it still didn't stop him, even though if he'd have got beat by Whisper last year, you'd have said fair enough, given the way things unfolded. But he didn't, he came back again.
And if he wasn't going to stay, surely he wouldn't have been able to come back up the hill.
Exactly,
done that.
The amount, in terms of efficiency in that race, Yeah, Mike Bite was way down the list, and he still managed to have enough ability to beat a very good horse. So yeah, I'd be disappointed if he wasn't. If he's on his A game, he'll be very hard to beat.
Yeah, well, I'm very glad he's your best bet for the festival, because I'm a big Mike Bite fan as well. In fact, it reminds me a bit at the moment of what it was like last year going to the RSA. I know he fell in the Courtois Star, but for me, that was the standout staying novice chase performance of the year.
Yeah.
And people just seem to be... People were saying he's my lay of the festival going into last year. I know people aren't quite going that far this time around.
But I could almost understand that last year because of the fact that he hadn't really operated on the track, because he'd had, like I said, that Kempton knock, should we say, I suppose. I can understand that last year you were worried that there might be chinks in his armour, but he was 7-2 last year and he's 3-1 now, and he's proven that those chinks in his armour aren't there. He's proven that he wins at the track. He's proven that he can just about stay this trip, even though he's not completely over 3-mile-2, but he might. He went 3-mile-2 last year.
Yeah.
Practically. He's proven that he can win at the highest level, as he has done at both Cheltenham and Kempton. He's won the best trial, which is the King George. It always is for the Cheltenham Gold Cup. And he's half a point shorter.
Yeah.
So
he was 9-2 until recently.
I don't get it, really.
I think if someone had told me after the RSA last year that Mike Bite would be this price for the Gold Cup at this point this year, I'd assume he would have lost at least once.
Yes, and having won... If you'd said he'd have won the King George comfortably, what price would he be?
Yeah.
And he said, well, who turned up? Given what everyone else has done as well. There's a lot of if, buts and maybes in the field. Well, if this improved, doesn't matter if it improved. Mike Bite, if he runs to that level,
yeah,
he should win. And to that end, I would make him half the price, really. But
yeah.
Mike
Bite, then.
Yes.
The big one, the nap selection for you at this stage.
It's good. It's one of those, depending on which way you look at it. On the one hand, I've got a long way to wait. On the other hand, if the rest of the week doesn't go well, I've at least, got a friend.
You don't, yeah,
on day
we all
four.
Have a friend in Mike Bite.
Exactly.
He is currently the 3-1 favourite for the Cheltenham Gold Cup at the time of recording. Hopefully, we'll get some racing over obstacles back underway shortly with the weather conditions and such like the Cheltenham Festival not too far away. The build up all on William Hill's Racing Radio. And Ross, thanks for joining us here on the podcast.
Anytime.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.